Pacific Garden Mission has become a Chicago landmark. Help provided includes food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. All are given without charge. Counselors are concerned for the total person, dealing with spiritual needs along with material ones. In 1950, the first of these radio programs was produced to tell a remarkable true story of a life transformed at the old lighthouse. Now we're heard in almost every nation on earth and in other languages. These things have come about as some who listen have helped make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. When I met the man whose story we have to tell, he gave me the whole history of his life as he'd written it down in a spiral-bound notebook. And here is one short passage from that book.
While in a bar one night with a girl, a guy said something I didn't like, so I asked him if he'd like to go outside and fight it out. So we went outside and started a fight. Well, he stopped fighting and started running up the street. Well, I didn't know it until I walked back in the bar. Then he pulled a knife and stabbed me in the chest. Blood was leaking through my clothes. The girl I was with, she get all excited, so they called an ambulance and they take me to the hospital. And that ended my fun for the evening.
That ended my fun for the evening. Now, you may wonder what happened to the man who used the knife. That's told in the next paragraph of the notebook.
The police, they picked up the guy who stabbed me, and they arrested him. I had the charges dropped against him because I was planning to take care of him my own way.
In our day, many are violent because of deep-seated hostilities. Even more feel that they have to assert themselves lest they be thought weak. These motivations seem to be a little sick. There is another bent to violence that's in a class by itself, rarely seen in our time. It's the cheerful violence that probably reached its peak when knighthood was in flower. In Camelot, we hear it expressed by the men of the Round Table as they promise Guinevere that they will do thus and so to this Frenchman, Lancelot du Lac. There are occasions in the history of the Irish, not the present time, suggesting something of the same thing. All their wars are merry and all their songs are sad. This kind of violence relishes a fight simply for its own sake, and buried somewhere in it is a near affection for the adversary. The man whose story we have to tell seems to have been one of the last of the barroom battlers in this ancient tradition. Even so, there came a time when the joy of battle and bottle was insufficient, and he went looking for death and found a new life. You'll hear it all as we bring you the true story of Ken O'Dell, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in northeastern Pennsylvania in the village of Mill City on June 29, 1930. My brothers and sisters and I were far apart because of the lack of love in our lives. My father was a heavy drinker. He was searching for love, something our family didn't have. He went to his death in 1956, a very unhappy man. When I was 15, for pleasure, I'd go to the Saturday night dances, which usually wound up in a fight. This is where I learned how to drink and fight. In 1948, when I was having trouble keeping up with my studies as a high school senior, I quit school and joined the Navy. Passing through Chicago on my way to Great Lakes, I was taken in the sights on South State Street.
It's a cold day, sailor. Come on in and warm up.
How much?
Oh, you mean money? Not a penny, friend. The Servicemen's Center is here to serve guys like you, not to sell to them.
That's hard to believe. Every other joint in this street's out to get your last dollar.
Not here. You can't spend a dime at Pacific Garden Mission.
Yeah.
Did they give you everything you need up there at the window?
Sure did. Coffee, donuts, even tried to give me a homemade pie.
Hey, you mind if I sit down here?
No, go ahead.
Thanks.
How come everything here is free?
Well, the most important thing we have to offer is free, so how can we charge for less important things?
The most important thing?
The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. And that means all of us. Because the Bible says, right here, go ahead and read it for yourself.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Uh-huh. Does that include you?
Sure does.
Now, see what it says here on this page, right there where I'm pointing.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Good. Now, here's another one. What does it say?
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
You see, my friend, Jesus paid for salvation. He paid it in full. All we can do is to take it by faith and thank the Lord for it.
That's what the Bible says?
That's it. Let's go into the prayer room and have a little talk with the Lord.
That man prayed with me and asked me to pray. After that, I went on my way. Didn't think much about the mission and its servicemen center for many years. After Great Lakes, I was assigned to the destroyer Waldron. In 1948, we visited 23 ports in Europe. One of them was Bremerhaven. Coming back to the ship after being out drinking, I made a slight mistake in direction. Sobered me up fast, but I lost my pea coat and my shoes. My behavior wasn't too bad during the next 3 years of that enlistment. I was at Key West when my 3 years ended. The Navy wanted to keep me because of the Korean War, so I signed up for another 6 years. It was while I was at Key West that I got into some trouble. I had been on Liberty, and a guy in the office taking Liberty cards was a yeoman.
Look at you.
Huh? What about me?
Well, you look as if you've been sleeping in an alley.
Hey, look. What I look like is none of your business. And neither is where I sleep. Stupid.
Stupid, huh? Listen, you can't call me stupid.
Junior, you must have an ear problem. I just did call you stupid, and what are you going to do about it? You tell me that, stupid. That led to a pretty fair fight. For that incident, I was given 30 days in the brig. And there, I found another fight. It all began with some comments by one of the Marine guards.
Hey, tell me you're in here because you like to fight. Is that true?
Well, I guess it is. Sure.
And we got another one just like you.
Coleman, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Now, he's been loudmouthing about how he's the toughest sailor in the brig.
You heard him say that?
He sure did. Now, we've been talking it over, and we've decided you're not man enough to whip that guy.
You're sure of that?
Oh, yeah. Coleman's a very tough guy. No doubt about it.
And you wish somebody would take him?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Sounded like it to me. I'll tell you what. I'll watch for a good chance. I'll have that little fight. And I'll whip him. Well, I showed those Marines I could whip Coleman. In the process, though, I got a cut over my eye.
We're going to have to get that sewed up, Odell.
And what do I tell them when they ask how I got it?
Yeah, we'll take care of that. Yeah, we'll say you fell down the stairs.
Okay.
After all, a guy who whips Coleman for us deserves a break.
From Key West, I was transferred to the battleship New Jersey. Before reporting aboard, I took a 30-day leave and went home to Pennsylvania. It was on that leave that the guy stabbed me with a knife. At the hospital, the stab wound in my chest was sewed up. And a few days later, I was aboard the New Jersey when she went out to sea. I did have one little problem.
Hey, Odell, you've been standing in front of that mirror for 10 minutes. What's so beautiful?
Here, I turn around. You can see for yourself.
Oh, wow. Man, all I can say is that's a fancy piece of stitching.
Yeah, and now it's supposed to come out.
Yeah, that's why the Navy has doctors on ship.
No good. If a doctor sees these stitches, there'll be a lot of questions to answer. Better I make it a do-it-yourself project.
You're trying to take out your own stitches?
That's the idea.
The New Jersey was operating out of Norfolk. Well, during the whole time we were there, the only good fight I had was the night before we sailed for Korea. It was a free-for-all. I think that everyone in the bar was fighting. The shore patrol came in and took some of us to their headquarters, but there were no charges because we were leaving the next day. That was a good fight. I lost 3 front teeth. Sometime after the Korean tour and a trip to Europe, I got orders for the submarine base at New London, Connecticut. From there, I used to go to New York City on weekend passes. In a place on Times Square, I got very drunk and began to argue with the bouncer.
Take it easy, sailor. Don't give us any trouble. Just sit there real quiet and drink your drink.
What if I don't feel like being quiet?
That's what I'm here for, mate.
Hey, you the bouncer?
No, I'm the customer service representative.
Don't give me a lot of smart talk. Besides, I never saw a bouncer in my life. I couldn't whip.
Until tonight.
What does that mean?
Because you're on your way out the door right now.
That's what you think.
When you hit the street, you bounce out into the middle of the traffic.
You're not bouncing me. I'm bouncing you.
The cops came storming in, broke it up, cleaned the place out. Well, the next day, sometime in the afternoon, I walked back into the same bar. It was almost empty, but the bouncer was sitting up on the end stool.
Well, look who's here.
It's me. How you feeling?
Same way you are, but without the hangover. And I'll say you look better than I'd have expected.
So do you. I was sure I'd closed one of your eyes.
Not quite. I moved my head pretty fast. Of course, if you'd been sober, you might have done it.
Who goes into a saloon to stay sober? You care for a drink?
I don't usually drink with the customers, but you're not just an ordinary customer.
I'm buying, you know.
I guess so. Oh, I want to introduce you to the owner of this place.
Huh?
You gave him enough trouble last night. As well buy him a drink, too.
We got to be pretty good friends. Sometimes when the bouncer wanted to step out for a while, I'd take his place. Well, there were lots of other fights, but one of them's pretty much like another. And there were a lot more days and nights of being drunk. They seemed to get worse. Sometimes they ran together into 2 or 3 days or a week. I missed getting back to the base several times and had to stand captain's mast. After I got out of the Navy, I was drunk most of the time. And finally, I decided to enlist in the Air Force. It didn't take long for me to know that I wasn't going to like it. When I was finally discharged from the Air Force, I bought a barrel of beer in a place in Buzzards Bay so all my friends could have a party. Well, someone came in and started drinking our beer, but he wasn't invited. So we had a fight, and that ended the party and my tour of duty with the Air Force.
A good time to break into the story. At a time when Ken O'Dell was about to begin a new phase of his life as a civilian. You'll hear in a moment what happened to this man who had been in uniform since the age of 18. Now, though, let's take a moment to talk with Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Guard and Mission. Harry, the end of 1 year and the start of a new one are a suitable time for looking ahead. As you do so, what do you see for the old lighthouse and the people of the street?
Most of the changes, and changes never stop, of course, are likely to be external. For example, there'll be more changes in the appearance of the city.
New development of land that was formerly occupied by railroad yards?
That, for one. Then the old Dearborn Station around the corner is slated to become a museum.
Well, it should be. That place has seen a lot of history.
Almost as much as Pacific Guard Mission. But we're no museum. Our work is with living, hurting, confused people. Men, women, and children. Skid Row is not really a place. It's a condition. And that condition is very likely to develop among those who have no knowledge of God.
Of course, it's also possible to be wealthy and enjoy every physical comfort and still have no knowledge of God.
Yes, that's very true. And I think that in one important sense, such people are already in the condition that goes with the Skid Row situation. These programs may speak to such people, but on the street, we are dealing for the most part with those who are down and out.
And that means providing them with a clean, warm place to stay, providing them with meals and clothing, with medical and dental care.
Those needs are dealt with first. Then our counselors will be taking up the greatest need of all, a spiritual need, the real need of those lost in sin to trust in Christ for salvation. Whatever else may change during the year ahead, this will not change.
If you listening would like to know more about Pacific Garden Mission, its work and its people, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
As a civilian, I worked days for an office furniture company and nights with a cleaning company. Then I went into the cleaning business for myself. That was in Boston. Well, soon after, I opened a janitorial supply store in Scranton, Pennsylvania, plus a cleaning company. A combination of working day and night, along with some drinking, put me in a hospital. I decided to sell everything, go on a really big drunk. I did. It lasted 6 months. Then I went to spend some time with my brother Ray in Alexandria, Louisiana. From there, I moved on to New Orleans. Tried different bars until I found one that I liked on St. Charles Street.
You've been coming in here pretty regular, Ken.
Yeah. Well, I like the place. Besides, I kind of like that barmaid, too.
Oh? Any special reason why?
Well, she'll roll a drunk as soon as not. I've seen her pick up their change, too. But she never does that to me.
Oh, I guess she likes you.
Yeah. Not bad to look at, either.
I guess I ought to tell you, Ken. That's my stepdaughter.
You don't say.
Sure. She's a pretty nice girl at heart.
For all of having friends in that bar, I still managed to get into a couple of fights while I was drinking there. There were times when I tried to stop drinking, too. It never lasted more than a few months, though. Then I'd start again and be worse than before. Several times I had trouble with the police in New Orleans and in Alexandria because of driving while I was drunk. Lost my driver's license and went right on driving. Once my brother had to pay a $200 fine to get me out of jail. After that, I went on a big one. Sobered up, went to work, and then went back to drinking again. This time, I decided I had come to the end. Nothing I did was right. I was half sick. I was well into my 30s and still living the way I had when I was 18 or 20, but worse. I quit my job, left my car at my brother's place, took the bus to New Orleans. There I got drunk and stayed that way, trying to get up the courage to walk to the river and end my life.
Well, mister, you ready for another drink?
Sure I am. What?
Well, I'm waiting to see your money.
What?
Last drink, you counted out the money in small change, and I know from seeing a lot of guys like you, it means the wells run dry.
Hey, you know something? Yeah. You're right. I'm broke. I'm broke, mister. So, good night.
Look, come back again when you got some bread, huh?
No, sorry. I won't be back. 7 blocks to go to the river. I went about 4 of them, sat down on a park bench, and then I was attacked by a man who must have been following me. He had some kind of a weapon in his hand. I got up and I fought, but then I fell down, and he began working me over around the head with the weapon. Well, he went through my pockets, but all he got was an empty wallet. And after he left, I got up and I started walking. And blood was pouring down my face and from my mouth. When someone saw me, he called an ambulance. And off to the hospital I went.
Oh, Dale, do you have any idea what a lucky man you are?
No. No, doctor. What's so lucky?
You're lucky you're alive.
That's kind of funny.
I don't see anything amusing.
Oh, you would. You see, I was on my way to the river to drown myself when that mugger jumped me.
He came close to saving you the walk, then. I've never seen anyone survive the kind of fractures as you have.
What happens now?
Surgery. In a few days, we'll have to try to put your skull together. And it won't be easy.
While I was lying there waiting for surgery that might be a failure, I had a visitor. It was James Hammer, my friend from the bar on St. Charles Street, and stepfather of the barmaid.
Ken, how do you feel?
Oh, like a guy who's had his head busted wide open.
Yeah. From what little information I could get, you're in rough shape.
So? Life isn't all that great anyway.
Don't say that, Ken. I guess you know I'm dying, don't you?
I heard they were making some tests on you. But that was months ago.
Well, the test came back with bad news. I may have 6 more months, but that's all.
I'll trade with you. My head for your cancer.
That might be a good trade, but for one thing. I'd have to take your soul, too.
That's bad?
Ken, whatever else is wrong with me, I'm okay with the Lord. That means I'm okay forever. Nah, I wouldn't trade.
You've got religion?
No, Ken. I got the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got me. Besides that, nothing else is really important.
You really mean that, don't you?
Sure I do. Ken, I wish you'd do what I'd done.
Yeah? What have you done?
I told the Lord I knew I'm a sinner, headed for hell. I told him I was trusting now in nothing but Jesus and his blood, and asked him to take over my life.
And then?
Then I knew I was forgiven. I knew God heard me and saved me. Now I'm not scared of dying, Ken. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I know.
Could I leave you this Bible, Ken?
That's funny. You with a Bible?
I suppose it is, if you knew me in the old days. But it's a wonderful book, Ken. Read it and find out for yourself.
Okay. And thanks.
I'd better go now. Oh, one more thing, though.
What's that?
I'll be praying for you, Ken. So why don't you pray for yourself?
Well, it seems that God answered his prayers. As I put my trust in Christ, my old attitude was changed. I went into surgery with peace of mind, came out alive, and with a cast in my mouth, wired jaws, wires inside my head to hold my skull together. The wires are still in my skull. And more important, Christ is in my heart.
And since those days, Ken, what's happened?
Well, the urge for drinking and smoking left me. I knew I had changed, but wasn't sure of what had really happened. When I left the hospital, I started going to church, began learning God's word.
Then I was called back to my job in Alexandria. Later, I was offered a better job in a suburb of Chicago.
Well, let's see. You've been in Chicago only once before, right?
Right. But one of the first places I came to was a place where that counselor had prayed with me when I was a kid just going into the Navy. And these days, I'm a pretty regular visitor at Pacific Garden Mission. You know something? After all those years of fighting, peace feels very good.
Peace feels very good. How much inner peace do you have, friend? If your life's a battleground, it can become peaceful, as Ken says, when you turn to the living Lord Jesus Christ. To counsel with someone who's concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago area, 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, address unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address unshackled, in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This week, won't you write and let us know you're hearing these programs? As you listen, ask someone else to listen with you. Heard in the true story of Ken O'Dell, where Jack Bibbins is Ken with Les Podwell, Bob O'Donnell, Jack Callahan, and Herb Graham. Original music, Lucille Becker. This is Jack O'Dell, no relation as far as we know, except for shared brotherhood in Christ. And I've written the story as I received it from Ken. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write this week. We look forward to your letters. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462.